You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now, a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com.
Hello, my name is Helen Patton, and I am an advisory CISO at Cisco. So I grew up in the country in Australia in the 70s and 80s, so I'm dating myself tremendously. And computers were not a thing where I was growing up. I thought I might be a landscape architect. I thought I might be an English teacher. I thought I might be an economist. I'm okay at math, but I don't love it. But I like the human interaction, which actually served me really well in security once I got there. But no idea about computers, networks, certainly not security when I was growing up. It was a combination of dumb luck and a little bit of hard work and serendipity. I left high school and I did what a lot of Australians do, and I took a gap year and I started working in a bank. And I really enjoyed having money because I was working and I didn't want to go back to school full time. So I started doing a business degree part time, and this was in Sydney, Australia. About that time, I met this American Navy guy and we became very good friends. And wouldn't you know it, the next thing I know, I'm married and I'm living in Ohio when I was very young. And I had no degree. I had no idea what it was like to live in the United States. And so I started just doing temp work around Columbus, Ohio, trying to work out which end was up. And I ended up in a job at the Ohio Restaurant Association as a membership administrator. Right at the time they were doing a database conversion, they had an old IBM 36 mini mainframe. This was in the early 90s. And they wanted to convert it to this newfangled client server SQL 6, I think, database. And I was the only person in the office under the age of about 40, and so they figured I must be somewhat comfortable with computers. Like, I don't know why they thought that, but they did. And so they assigned me to work with this consulting company that was doing the conversion, and the consulting company hired me off the back of that gig. So I accidentally got into IT, and I was really fortunate. I had the guy who ran the company, it was a small business. He taught me on the job. So I spent most of the early 90s on my hands and knees underneath desks of small nonprofits in Ohio doing very small network implementations, getting people comfortable with understanding what Windows 3.1.1 is and why they needed a PC on their desk. And I moved from there to a software development company where I was responsible for infrastructure and their help desk. I was in the fortunate but unfortunate position of being responsible for networks, servers, desktops. No one had laptops really back then. Right when viruses started coming about, so the I Love You virus, slammer worms, those kinds of things. And it ticked me off because I would walk in with my day planned out, because I'm a planner. I would walk in with my day planned out and someone clicked on something or did something. My CIO, who I reported to at the time, said, "Damn, we need a security program or a disaster recovery program, and Helen, you're it. I left that company and went to work for Bank One as a disaster recovery planner. And 5 days after I joined Bank One, there was a merger with JP Morgan. So to my surprise, and by accident, I'm now working for one of the biggest Wall Street banks. I had 4 different jobs over the 10 years when I was at JP, got to run a global team. It was more of a technology risk officer kind of role than a cyber, you know, SecOps kind of role. Left there to be the CISO at The Ohio State University, and I was the CISO at OSU. I had no idea what I was getting myself in for. So keeping in mind, JP Morgan's one of the biggest banks in the world. But I quite naively thought, oh, I'm going from this really rigorous security organization to an organization where the primary business purpose is teaching kids in classrooms. Like, how technically difficult could that be? That was my thought. I had no idea. And I would argue now that being a CISO or a security person in higher ed is 10 times more difficult than being a security person in a Wall Street bank for a number of reasons. One, we have all kinds of technology and all kinds of devices. Like, it's more like running a city. So we had a hotel, we had an airport, we had a nuclear reactor, we had multiple entertainment centers for football and concerts, 8 hospitals, all kinds of stuff, right? And people go, oh, you're higher ed. And I'm like, yeah, no, really. You think grades and scheduling? I was like, oh, God, I was so wrong. And then add to that, you go from a culture where at JP Morgan, when Jamie Dimon says, make it so, people would go, okay, and they would, right? Or they'd be fired, like that was your choice. In higher ed, it's very much bottom up. So I'd go to someone and say, you really should not have local admin rights. And they're like, yeah, make me. I'm like, oh. So I went from being able to do this top-down command control kind of approach to security to doing a very psychologically driven, how do I get people to want to do cyber? Because if they don't want to do it, they don't have to kind of culture. And you're in an industry where the purpose of the industry is to share data with as many people as you possibly can. Whereas in banking, the idea is not to share data with anybody unless they absolutely have to know it. So I talk about this in the book that I wrote, and this is the question of how do you know when it's time to move on from one role to another role? I had reached a point at Ohio State where I felt like I had done what I had set out to do. I had made the changes that I wanted. I had created a team that I felt when I left was strong enough that they would continue. Not that they'd do what I was doing because they'd get a new leader, but that the program was solid. And I felt that OSU was at a point where the skills I brought to the role were not what they needed in a leader going forward. Then there was the question of, well, if I'm not doing that, then where do I go? And I really loved the culture at Duo and Cisco. I really enjoy working with Wendy Nather and the rest of the advisory CISO team in that it gives me a platform to talk about security things with all industries and all geographies. And with Cisco, I get to work with really smart people who are doing really interesting work, and I'm excited to share that. I would like to tell you, I think I'm collaborative. I look to get as much input from as many stakeholders as possible before I make a decision and move. Having said that, though, once a decision is made, I tend to be quite forceful about making that happen. I am action-oriented, but I'm data-driven in my action. And one of the things I miss actually about being an advisory CISO is I don't have a team of people reporting to me anymore, because I do really like coaching people and developing people up. I think Australians are more direct than Americans. when I became a leader, that served me well. When I wasn't a leader, I was seen as too brash. So it depended on where I was in my career path, whether that was a good thing or a bad thing, to come across as unfiltered, if you will. I do think Australians are not afraid of doing the things they think need to be done, even if that means walking on the grass. I would like people to think that they feel like I gave back to the community, and which is, again, one of the reasons that I've written a book, but that I did things that were just a little bit bigger than my own self-interest. That's what I'd like to think.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustai.